Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be again with you on this Sunday. I tell you what, we're in Iowa. We are having what we would call a traditional Iowa winter weather. We got Pastor Bill in here again with us this morning. I'm excited. We're continuing our series on hope in the midst of the storm. Good morning, Pastor Bill.
Good morning. And again, it's a pleasure to be here, and I'm looking forward to talking about these things today.
Absolutely. And if you just tuned in on us this morning, you're traveling down the highway somewhere and you've picked up KBOE 104.9 FM, we want to thank you for listening to us today. Many of you share with me, Mike, we listen to you on the way to church, and we're thankful for that as well. And many of you, this is your church time, all due to different situations, whether it's COVID-19 related or whatever it might be. We want to thank you for listening. But we're in the midst of this teaching, Pastor Bill. We started it last week. We made a little bit of a shift this last couple of weeks, but we're talking about Jesus giving the prophecy of the final days and using it as the likeness as the day of Noah. And I think this has been really, really good. And also, too, I think at a time such as this, it is really striking a point. But we're on starting with point number four. We've had 6 points. We're going to hopefully get through these last three points today. And it has been really good. But point number four is this. The days of Noah, they were filled with moral decline. Habakkuk 2:14 says this. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. I tell you what, Pastor Bill, as I look at that in the days of Noah, of the moral decline that Noah had in his day, and we look at, and Jesus gives a prophecy foretelling that the end time days would be very similar to us. Let's talk about that a little bit this morning, about the moral decline that we're seeing in the midst of our nation, and how that is becoming a reflection and a decline of our nation itself.
Yes.
So let's open up with that a little bit this morning as we look at the moral decline, the things that are that the shift that we're seeing today that is in our nation. And let's talk about that a little bit this morning. What are some of the things that you are specifically that you would say are noticing more so in the past 5 years compared to 10 to 15 years ago? The moral decline, that the shift that we're seeing being made.
Well, the deconstruction of family and the redefining of family is one of the most troubling things, because in the family, inherent in the family, is the reflection or the image of God. God is a father, and he is a son, and he is a Holy Spirit that has maternal attributes. In that reflection, we have a father, we have a mother, and we have a son or a child.
Right.
And when you tamper with that, you tamper with the image of God, so people can never recognize who God really is. And then sexual promiscuity comes from redefining family, because in the family is a covenant between a husband and a wife in their fidelity. And also with the having of children and defining the children as a male or a female.
Right.
This is all changing.
Right.
And the very image of God is being tampered with. And when the image of God is tampered with, then we'll not be able to recognize who God is. It's a defilement of the very nature, essence, and image of Almighty God to change these things.
We're seeing actually laws being changed, Pastor Bill, just in the last couple of weeks. With the change of administration and changing of how things are looked upon. And my understanding is, even now with that being said, it's no longer, now it's opened back up. Just for instance, going to the restroom is no longer defined as a men's restroom and a women's restroom.
Yes.
Now, my understanding under the new administration, somebody who is transgender can move in either one. The issue probably more so, my concern is this, it's allowing potential people who would be those that would be going against or especially young children now have an opportunity to go into those places and put our children literally at risk.
And to be exposed to things that are not right. For instance, you could have someone posing to be transgender,
right,
a young man, because he really just wants to go into the gal's shower room and be in girls' sports so he can win, and be in the girls' shower room so he can get a full view of everything that he's lusting after.
Right.
I mean, come on, let's face it. This is a great potential for this to happen, and it's our daughters that are going to be at risk.
Absolutely, and that's you know, the moral decline.
Yeah.
And as Jesus had shared with us about that, and I don't know about you, when I heard those changes, my heart just sank.
Yeah.
This week, as I was listening to those things that were happening,
yeah,
and just the moral decline, and I can't help but think as I look at these things, and also too, they're taking away, for instance, no longer being defined as man, woman, or whatever. Even in the prayer that happened a few weeks ago,
amen and a woman.
Where did I'm sitting there, what does that have to do with anything with sex?
Yeah.
Between
He doesn't know what amen means.
Yeah,
apparently.
Share with us, because not everybody understands what amen means.
Amen just is simply at the end of a prayer, because prayer is supposed to be agreed upon,
right,
is a so be it.
Yes.
It's not a gender designation whatsoever.
Absolutely.
It's not an A as in men as in gender. It's amen as in so be it, what was just prayed.
Right, right.
It just tells you these people are operating on an astounding level of ignorance.
Right. And we got such, you know, as I've heard too, different things, the demonic presence that is being, that creates the moral decline. We got the, you know, we got Baal, we got Jezebel, and then also too, the one with the snake. What's that one that they're sharing? I'm sorry, I'm catching you at a tough spot as well.
Yeah.
But it's the one that goes sexuality as well.
Yeah.
And we're seeing those spirits that are really, yeah, being drawn up and being this, at the very highest level of law,
right,
within,
yeah,
our nation, and those,
yep,
decisions are being made. And also, too, what we're seeing is those that are holding the line, that are in leadership and, yeah, in the places of administration are literally are being under attack of making a standpoint. And we can see this moral decline. And, yeah, also, too, we can actually see it. Now, let's take it a little bit closer to the our area of where, yeah, we live in Iowa. And the moral decline that we're seeing, and I think it's so important. It says this in Habakkuk 2:15. It says this: "What sorrow awaits you who make your neighbors drunk? You force your cup on them so you can gloat over their shameful nakedness." See, God's glory is coming, and He will deal with the nations, yeah, about the moral decline. And I think that's, yeah, important for us as we look at that, especially not only at a national level, but also think within in a state level. It's important for us to be standing more than ever. Also, too, I think of standing in having a voice, but also too standing in a position of praying to the Lord. Man.
Yeah.
Of what's going on today is just so prevalent.
And I think the sexual deconstruction of Christian morality is to move us towards pedophilia.
Right.
You see, even in the ancient world, in Rome, it was fashionable for the senators to parade their 10 and 12-year-old boys around the Senate, whom they had ditched their wife to marry them, to take them, and that was their sexual partner. And it became fashionable and prestigious to do that,
right,
in Rome. And Rome is the direction we're going.
Right. Yeah, the actual thing that took out Rome was the moral decline with it.
You, right, know, it's a deconstruction of Christian morality, and that's,
yeah,
happening.
You know, Abraham Lincoln actually stated it would not be a force from the outside that would take us out. It would be forces from within.
Yes.
And I think we're seeing that so much. But I think it's important to realize that there's still hope, that we can still turn this thing, right, around. And I think it's important for the moral decline is, what are you doing about the moral decline?
With you
personally. And I think that's so key, and that's one of the things I share with a lot of times with Vital Men, is especially with what I would say when men have what I would call moments of where they don't have much going on, and it's easy right now to do that way. The winter keeps us inside,
yeah,
so it gives us idle time.
Idle time is not
idle
it.
Time. It's a,
yeah,
killer. It's a,
yep,
killer. I'm going to umbrella of mercy here, especially with men.
Yep.
And that creates the moral decline. It puts us in places that we go in on a computer, or go into places that I think create the moral decline within our own eyes because, yeah, of idle time. It will take, right, us out.
Yeah.
And it's important just to make sure that we're taking,
absolutely,
advantage of that time. Point number five. The days of Noah were filled with mockers. They mocked Noah and told him of their disbelief. Now let's talk about that for a second. Now here's Noah building the biggest ark, the biggest boat.
Biggest object lesson in town.
That man has ever seen, right? And yeah. It's on dry land.
Yep.
It's not even close to a lake, a river, or an ocean.
Oh, yeah.
It's on the land, right?
Yep.
And I can only imagine what the mocking must have been for him as people, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And how many years did he spend building on this ark? It was...
I think 100 or 120, some enormous period of time.
Right. Right. I'm thinking that. I don't know why 110 comes to my mind.
Somewhere anyway, in that
yes,
realm.
He spends this period of lifetime. And then here's the other thing, though, as I think of the mockers. But yet his sons worked alongside him and believed in what God had told him about the prophecy of the water that was about to come.
Yep.
And yet the mockers were there. It says this in 2 Peter 3:3-4. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. What happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained in the same since the world was first created.
What a parallel.
Yes.
You know, and you think about it, it says he was a preacher of righteousness. So right. He was preaching those 100 years too.
Absolutely.
And absolutely, if he was preaching righteousness then was this, obey the word of God, which is to build an ark. Come help me build the ark and you'll be saved by it. It's the same thing as come help build the church and when the rapture comes, you'll be saved by it and you'll go up with those who help build it will be saved by it. And I really believe that in that day, he was experiencing the same thing, that he was preaching righteousness and they're saying, oh yeah, what you said that 70 years ago that there was going to be flood. You said it 80 years ago. You said it 90 years ago. It ain't ever going to happen.
Right.
Well, see, there comes a day. There's a tipping point, and then the Lord does fulfill his word, and it comes to pass. And all the mockers were outside wishing they were inside the ark.
Right, absolutely. And it kind of reminds me a little bit back in the 60s and 70s, there was a great push of the second coming of Christ.
Yep.
It was a push.
Yep.
And then now we've had some years that have gone by. That push has, in a way, it's kind of been put to the wayside in my thinking.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing it being spoken about more so today. And I think it's important. But one thing that we can be rest assured is this. We know, in fact, that Jesus, that we serve a God that is patient. And Amen. He's going to wait for the last one. Leaving the one for the 99 is the parable that Jesus spoke to his disciples about.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus, in my mind, is waiting for. So we're waiting for a time when all the nations will hear. Now, my understanding with technology, it is a double-edged sword, okay? Yeah. But my understanding, by the year 2025, it will have the opportunity, my understanding from what I hear, the whole world will be able to hear the gospel message.
Yeah. And you know, I thought maybe we'd already reached that point, but we have to be very close.
Right.
Because technology is exploding. You know, you go to the remote parts of the earth and you'll find an iPhone.
Yes.
And, you know, you go to a hut in Africa and they don't have a stove, but they got an iPhone,
that's
you know,
exactly right.
And they're watching stuff.
Exactly right. Exactly right. But yet there's so much disbelief about that. You know, and I think it's important in the midst of the mocking and everything that's going on. Can you imagine the horrificness it would have been? Now, they have experienced in the days of Noah, they have now experienced, they've not experienced rain ever. We've talked about that last week.
Yeah,
it was a mist that came from the earth itself. Yeah. Now rain is coming. It's torrent.
Yeah.
And can you imagine the people knocking on the side of the ark?
Oh my.
Asking to come aboard, knowing, and they're up at whatever the highest point they can actually be to trying to get away from the floodwaters that are rising.
Yeah.
And I think that's important for us today is we see so much mocking that has been done, and I think it's just essential. You know, I've heard more from the last few weeks, pastors and prophets speaking out against the highest law of the land, of the mocking that's been taking place and the laws and the judgments that's been placed in our land in the last few weeks I've never ever heard it ever, like men like John MacArthur, Jonathan Cain.
Yeah.
Men like that have actually been giving actual warnings about the mocking that has been done against the administration present about the things that have been done and laws that have been put into place.
Yeah.
And that is, they're saying you are mocking God, saying one thing, placing your hand on God's word, saying that you will abide, but yet do another.
Killing babies up to birth, paying for abortions even in Mexico, and making us all participants in the murder of unborn babies through our taxation.
Right.
I never asked to be a partner in murdering babies, but the federal government's going to shove it down our throat to be partners in that. So we have to be very careful that, you know, we cry out to God for mercy, because whether we want to be a part of it or not, we're being forced to be part of an evil coalition of killing babies.
Right. And it's just essential for us even more so. Now, here's the thing that I also like this. I follow Dutch Sheets, and he's a pastor and also a prophet. And the things that he's really put, he says it's essential for us to give out our voice. But it's also to be essential that we don't become a part of the mob or the riot that goes against. Nowhere in God's word does it ever
be reasonable
for us.
Yeah.
But it's essential for us to be praying for those that are in administration.
Yes.
And I think about the people that are, let's look in our state level.
Yep.
You know, how often are we truly praying for the representatives,
the
people that are in the Senate in the state of Iowa, and also too for our governor, as she makes some hard decisions for us that makes decisions. And I think we're going to see too, Pastor Bill, in the next few weeks, because of administration at a federal level is overriding things at a state level that's not lawful according to the Constitution.
Exactly.
Now, with that being said, we talked about that a little bit, about the difference, because a lot of people are saying, well, we're a democracy or we are a republic.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about that. And I want you to, let's give a little bit of a definition, the difference between a republic of which our Constitution stands, as opposed to being a democracy of which they're wanting us to go.
Yeah.
Share with us a little bit about
that.
Well,
a Constitution, let me give you a little bit of history. The Constitution was being ratified. There were 9 states at the time, and they had 8 that had said yes to the Constitution, and 9 they needed to actually ratify the Constitution. At that time, New Hampshire was the deciding state. And Harvard's president, Samuel Langdon, gave an address called The Republic of the Israelites, an example to the American states.
Mm-hmm.
And when they heard it, they ratified it. And the 9th state, it needed... And before that, kings have ruled the earth, but America comes along, unlike any time ever before or since, and they say, we're going to make the people king and the political classes to be our temporary servants. Wow, that's different than anything before. For 400 years, from Moses to Samuel, they were under a republic, and a republic is representing you by moral people that have self-control. For 400 years, Israel had the law of God. They had the temple. They taught their children. They didn't need a police department. For 400 years, they didn't have a police department.
Right.
They didn't have to have one because people feared God, because they taught their children the law of God. They kept the law of God, and the people ruled over it. That's what we created our government after, that our rights were given to us from God, that the lawfulness that we had was to come from God, and that Jesus or God was king. When Saul came along, the people had apostated. They had turned away from that, and they wanted a king. Well, that's a rejection of God being king in their life.
Right.
And they went to that. So a democratic is just mob rule. That's just the most people get their way.
Right.
Where a republic is, we choose representatives who represent our moral beliefs, that we believe to choose and do the right thing, that have to be qualified. Men of truth who hate covetousness, and men who fear God, it says, was the criterion for choosing leaders. So we choose moral men to make the right choice on our behalf as we govern the nation. We're king in America, and the political class is supposed to be our servants. That defines us as different than any other nation or type of government in the world.
And that's why we need to, as our nation of America, that's why it's important for us to hold the Electoral College.
Exactly.
And it's not about the majority of the people, because the majority of the people can literally become the majority of the mob.
Well, it'd just be the East and West Coast.
And that's how it would play out. So the East and the West would just define everything in between.
Huge cities don't know how to govern in small rural towns.
Exactly.
I mean, our needs are different than their needs. That's why it has to be localized, and it has to be represented, and it has to be decentralized.
Yes, yes. And I think that's part of the moral decline. Let's go to point number six. The days of Noah were filled with prophetic blindness. Now, I want to sit with this one a little bit this morning, Pastor Bill, because the truth of the fact is there has been a lot of prophecies and a lot of things that have been going on. We've heard a lot of different things. And the truth of the fact is the prophetic, man, has been taking a hit. They've been hit, hammered hard by some of the positions that they've actually made. Now, a lot of times people will say in the spiritual prophetic blindness, now let's go backwards, the return of Christ. It says, where is the proof that Jesus will return? Yeah. You know, I've heard that said before. Where is the proof that in fact, because it's a prophecy that Jesus is coming back. Where's the proof, right?
Exactly.
Well, Jesus gave us in throughout Scripture, and especially in the four Gospels, he makes it very clear for the signs of the times to be present and be watchful for. And I think that's essential for, that's why it's so key for us. I was actually sitting with this past week, and I was sharing with a man in our community, and we're talking about the different things, and I said, he's wanting to know how to lead his men and how to do things. And I think it's so important, because what happens is we come with blindness.
Yeah.
And I said, it's going to be essential for us today. Get in the Word of God.
Yeah.
First thing of the morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's key. And also to the time of your prayer time. And there's some of the things too, in the prophecies that are being said, I think it's important for us also too, if we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me?
Yes.
How do I need to get my life right? So I'm not becoming spiritually blind, having blindness in my own, because it's easy to get religious blindness in our eyes.
Yep, yep. And we've got to rightly divide things. You know, the Bible talks about personal prophecy. It talks about major prophets. It talks about minor prophets. Some prophets get prophecy for the nation. Some get for their locale.
Yes.
Some get it for their personal lives. And then there's prophets of the land versus prophets of the Lord.
Right.
And so the prophets of the land all throughout the Old Testament were those who just so happened to line up with what was convenient for them and maybe the king.
Yes.
And they would cater to the political mood of the country,
right,
where the prophet of the Lord usually was diametrically opposed. And, you know, like Micaiah, the true prophets a lot of times go against the grain.
Right. Well, look at Samuel with the people.
Yeah.
Here's God wanted to keep it, so they still keep with judges, because he said kings would go bad.
Yep.
But the people kept saying, we want a king, we want a king.
Yep.
So finally, the Lord allows them to have the king. And then Samuel gives them a prophetic warning about, this is what's going to happen now, because you have chosen to have a king versus having God be your king.
Yep.
And that all played out.
Yep.
He went against the grain. He was not a popular person at this.
In the next 10 verses, it says, and he will take from you six times.
Yes.
The number of man, number six.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I think it's important for us to, you know, in a fivefold ministry, and I think especially in end time living of where we are today, we need to embrace the different positions, pastors, prophets, teachers, just to go along
apostles,
with
yes,
the apostles, absolutely. Just to go, that's just going to be essential for a church being alive and well, to have every one of those have a place.
Yep.
And absolutely. I think we have allowed blindness to come in, because we're coming against them and saying what was spoken is not true. But the thing is that I think it's important for us to realize, we have tried to set, and some of them have even spoken, they have repented about giving dates.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that is where some of them went wrong.
I think, yeah, absolutely. I think, too, you know, the Bible says, for we know in part, we prophesy in part. And then it says, let him stand by and let the other judge. It says, let him prophesy by one or two, and then let them stand by and judge. Sometimes what happens is God gives A, B, C, and then they assume D, E, F.
Right.
Because A, B, C seems like it's pointing towards D, E, F. And they need to just give what the Lord gives them. And we got to be careful, because it says that they prophesied out of their own spirit in the Old Testament.
Right.
And it says, and the people loved it that way.
Right, right.
In Jeremiah.
And it's also, too, here's another thing that's important with the prophets. I think it's very essential for them as they're talking. You need to be listening to those that are also giving a prophetic word, but also backing it with Scripture at the
Absolutely.
Same time.
Absolutely.
Because then if it's not, then they're no more than a seer.
Yep.
They're no more than a person who's going to go out and give you a... read your palm.
And biblical precedent for what they're saying.
Yes.
And because, you know, God doesn't do anything new. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's nothing new under the sun. And we have to find biblical precedent that parallels the prophecies. And that's how you judge them. It says, judge all things, prove all things, hold fast to that which is true.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, Pastor Bill, we're amazingly, we're out of time again. But I'm going to close with this, reading out of Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39. And again, these are red letter words. These are words from Jesus. And Jesus says this. He says, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in the day of Noah. In those days, before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets, parties, and weddings right up to the time Noah entered the boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Unpreparedness. And folks, hear me on this. If you don't hear anything that we've talked about, listen to this. This is important. Preparedness of your own spiritual life along with your family today is going to be the most essential to have hope in the midst of the storm that we're experiencing now. Hear me on what I just said. Let's pray. Father, again, I always thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity that we can come and open up your word. The words that you spoke in prophecy about end time and end time living and things that were going to not yet happen that will happen. Lord, I pray that the spiritual blindness that has come over, especially the church, especially the Christian people today, Lord, help our eyes, the scales to be torn off, that we hear the presence and the word from the Holy Spirit himself, and that we have such a relationship. We're not so in tune of wanting a prophecy as to having a relationship, and out of relationship, you speak what's to come. That's what you want with everyone, whether it's a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, and those of us who are simply part of your church. Help us to be men and women today that hear your voice. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Bill, again, thank you so much for being with us this Sunday. It has been a joy to have, as we close this teaching series, Hope in the Midst of the Storm. I'm Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.